Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from John chapter 15. I'll begin reading now. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of our God. It's the number one rule in real estate. Location, location, location. Location is important because while you can change quite a bit about your home, you can't move it. You can paint it, fix up the backyard, remodel the kitchen, the bathroom, improve the curb appeal. Even if you go full HGTV on your home, you still don't move it. The location is lasting. And it's really important. That's why even if you don't have kids, living in a good school district is still really attractive. Even if you're not someone who really enjoys the outdoors a whole lot, hiking trails are far better than railroad tracks. And a house with a view will always close the deal. Location, location, location. It's the number one rule in real estate. It's also the number one rule in real fruitful living. Location. Location, location. Listen to Jesus. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me," location, "and I in you," location, "you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is teaching us about the importance of our spiritual location. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Do you hear him repeating this idea again and again? Location, location, location. If you don't remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Again, location, location, location. Just like when you're house shopping. When we're trying to determine the best spiritual location, we want a good school district because we know what we're being taught is crucial. Secondly, we don't want a place with railroad tracks. We want a place where we can hear ourselves think. And finally, we want a place with a great view. So the right spiritual location has these three things. Good teaching, it's a place where we can hear ourselves think, and it has an extraordinary view. And that's what we're going to settle down today. We're going to live with the vine and follow his lead, and then we'll be fruitful and fulfilled. This text has all of those things for us, but let's take a quick glance, a walk through the neighborhood that we're in John 15. In John 15, it's the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Shortly, Jesus speaks to his disciples in this illustration shortly after Judas had left them to hand Jesus over to the Sanhedrin. This was shortly after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, he may have given them this illustration in the upper room by themselves, or he may have been speaking with them on their walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. But that's the neighborhood that we're in, and that neighborhood sets an important location context, doesn't it? This is not Jesus teaching to the crowds. He's not telling people whom he's just healed or just opened their ears that they need to make a choice to remain in him, or they will be thrown into the fire. Jesus is speaking to the 11 men who have followed him closely for the past 3 years. They have been following him physically, and that has been their identity for quite some time now, but that was also about to change in a major way. You see, Jesus recognized that he was about to be arrested, mocked, crucified, and buried. And because of this, the disciples' worlds were about to be turned upside down. And he wanted them to know that they were still in God's plans. He wanted them to understand that God the Father, the gardener, the vine dresser in this illustration, was working in them to make them more fruitful. God wanted these men to remain in Jesus, even though Jesus' time among them physically was quickly coming to an end. So how could these disciples remain in him? Well, Jesus lays that out here for us because we're in the right location. He's an expert teacher. So he says to remain in him is to have his words remain in you. And he also goes on to say in verse 9 that we are to remain in his love. Now, what does it mean to have Jesus' words remain in you and remain in his love? Well, it means that his words are not just a passing thought. They've left a permanent imprint. When Jesus' words remain in you and you remain in his love, you don't just speak in pious-sounding platitudes or fine-sounding soundbites. You make dreadful confessions about yourself. You make difficult sacrifices for others. You wrestle with your sinful nature and all its wicked desires, and you strive to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus. In short, you live a life of self-control, seeking opportunities to prove faithful and patient and to do what is good. Your life isn't dominated by selfishness, worries, or complaint. Rather, you live a life of humble sacrifices. You strive to be gentle, kind, and compassionate, especially loving those who are hard to love. When Jesus' words remain in you and you remain in his love, life isn't about what you can get or what you can get away with, but how you can give glory to God in all that you think, say, and do. A fruitful life is never about serving the man or the woman in the mirror, but the Son of Man who was lifted up on the cross in our place. Does that sound like you all the time? Do Jesus' words remain in you even when others get on your last nerve? Does Jesus' love remain in you when you've been hurt or wronged? Do Jesus' words remain in you when you're dealing with trouble and uncertainty, worries and anxiety? Does Jesus' love remain in you when you're feeling lost or abandoned? So often, you and I fall short of remaining in Jesus' words or his love. We want to be the kind of people who say the right things, but our tongues say things that we can't defend. We want to be the kind of people who keep Jesus' commands and love our enemies, but far too often, we struggle to even love our decent neighbors as we love ourselves. And in some moments, we don't even love ourselves or what we've become. Do you know why it's so hard to have Jesus' words remain in you and to remain in his love? It's because we so quickly lose sight of the number one rule in real fruitful living: location, location, location. Moment by moment, we act like our strength comes from within ourselves rather than from the one who made his dwelling among us. We forget why Jesus had to locate himself in this world. We've lost sight of where our strength for holy living actually comes from. We've lost track of where the Father is and what he's doing. We've got the wrong location, location, location. And that's why it's important to recognize that Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, "I'm the vine, and you can be my branches if you pattern your lives after me more carefully." Well, Jesus makes three statements to his disciples, expressions of what is really going on. He says, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. These roles are distinct, they are clearly defined, and each is important. But they share the same goal. Fruitfulness for the branches. You see, the vine with its deep roots and its sturdy trunk provides the structure and the nutrients that the branches need to be fruitful. But here's the thing that we have to understand about grapevines. I don't know if you've ever grown them before. I haven't, so this week I had to spend some time learning a little bit more about how to grow something that would never work in my backyard. Did you know wild grapes and wild grapevines aren't really all that interested in being fruitful? When you see them out in the wild, they grow up in bushes and in trees, and they're more vines and leaves than grapes. Good gardeners, wise vine dressers, understand this about grapevines. They get that they must be wrangled, pulled off the ground, crowded together, pruned back hard, and at times even restricted giving them water. Now, all of these counterintuitive actions are choices that the vine dresser makes because he recognizes that this is actually going to make the branches more fruitful. The branches must be in the vine. The vine must be in the branches. And also, the branches must be in the hands of the skilled vine dresser. It's all about location, location, location. A wise vine dresser recognizes that when a branch has dropped to the ground, it's liable to try and start a new root system, to try to become its own vine rather than becoming fruitful. So the vine dresser will lift that branch back up where it's supposed to be so that it can be what it's supposed to be, fruitful. If it remains unfruitful, he will make the difficult but necessary choice to cut it off for the sake of the rest of the branches, so that they might be fruitful. Yet even the fruitful branches still need him. They are pruned. They are cut back so that they might be more fruitful. And if you poke around a little bit in viticulture, you'll find out that they're not just cutting it back a little here and there. It's not like when you and I go get a haircut. In most cases, expert vine dressers will tell you that you need to cut 80 to 90% back to make it flourish and be fruitful. So how does God do this? Well, God prunes us the same way that he nourishes us. It's through his word. That's why Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." It's also why he says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain, and you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." You see, it's through the word of God that we are pruned. It's through the word of God that we are strengthened. It's through both uses of this word, the pruning and the nourishing, that we are made fruitful. One way that God prunes us is through the word of his law. He lays bare all of our sin, so that our sin might be taken away by his son. This process isn't pretty. It can be painful, but we need to be pruned so that we can be fruitful. God does this as he reveals the sinful passions and desires that would produce the sour grapes of sinfulness in our lives. So as he takes us in his hand, he recognizes that our pride must be pared down, our anger must be clipped, our greed must be cut down to size, our jealousy and lust must be lopped off, our self-righteousness must be snipped. God prunes all these particular sins back with the word of his law. He shows us that if we were to do as we please, if we were to grow wild, we would only sin more and more. We would never produce the fruit that the Father is looking for. And that is why the vine dresser prunes us, so that we might produce fruit. After all, that's why he planted his son, the vine, in the first place. And even in doing this, God demonstrated how important location really is. He didn't plant his son in the sky and say, "Imitate him, and you can get into heaven." He didn't plant his son on a throne and then say, "Bow down to him, and you'll be welcomed into his kingdom." God the Father planted his son in a manger. God the Father planted his son in the humble town of Bethlehem. God the Father planted his son in Nazareth, Galilee, among sinners. God the Father planted his son on a cross. And he has declared that whoever believes in him will have life to the full. Whoever believes in him will be fruitful. And that is what you are. You are fruitful branches because Christ remains in you. His word has left an eternal imprint on your heart and your mind. You are fruitful because you remain in Christ. This world may have many ideas on how you are to be fruitful in their way of thinking, successful as they call it. But you recognize how many of those ideas fly in the face of your faith and disobey your Savior. So you remain in Jesus. You exercise self-control, disciplining your eyes and your tongue in a world that says whatever they feel and looks at whatever they like. You are compassionate and gentle in a world that's harsh and unforgiving. You love your enemies, blessing them and even praying for them, even as they curse and persecute you. Your mind is at peace. Your heart is filled with joy because Jesus' words and his love have assured you that he is in control and he is with you even to the very end of the age. You remain in the vine, and he remains in you. You trust that you are in the capable, wise, tender hands of the vine dresser. You know that you are fruitful because of your location. 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 So even if a lot changes on the outside, your appearance, your job, your health, your energy, your family life, your location remains the same. You are in Christ. You're in his word, and his word is in you. There's good teaching there about sin and grace. You have a spot where you can hear yourself think. You can meditate on God's word and apply it to your life and the choices that you must make, and you have a perfect view. You see God's extraordinary Son, crucified, risen, and reigning on the throne, all so that you might be fruitful. And you are, because of your location. You remain in him. You are fruitful because of your location. He remains in you. You are fruitful because of your location. You are in the wise hands of the Father. So be fruitful, because it's all about location, location, location. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you God's word. If you'd like to learn more about the vine and the vine dresser, what it means to remain in Jesus and have his words and his love remain in you, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to learn more about what the Bible teaches, what we believe, and opportunities to gather together with God's people, to be fed and nourished, to be pruned back and provided for. May God continue to bless and keep you and make you fruitful. Until next time.